During our elders' meeting this month, Wes suggested that two of the elders should tell how we came to be at First Christian and what it meant to us. Kathy Costas was her usual gracious self and stepped up to the plate, following which was a definite silence. No one was more surprised than I was. Even Peggy Snyder commented that I had really stepped out of the box when I said I would tell my story. Just last year, I had not even said a prayer out loud, certainly not prayed at the Lord's table or even consented to be worship leader. I came to this church after searching for a church home for many months with a friend, hoping to find somewhere that felt like a home and a family. It could only be a true sign from God when my sweet husband Bob got an email from Paul Matthews inviting us to come meet the new pastor in his church, First Christian Church Conroe. The icing on the cake was that this new pastor was a train enthusiast, a newly revived hobby of Bob's. So with Bob's enthusiastic and hopeful attitude, off to First Christian we went. Keep in mind that the 19 years of our marriage, Bob always hesitated going to church, so this was exciting. After only one visit, we both knew that this is where God wanted us to be, together, worshiping with a group of loving, caring friends, soon to become an important part of my life, just like the family in North Texas I miss so much. I grew up in a military family that traveled all over the U.S., but there was always one constant thing our family shared. As we relocated, and that was going to church together every Sunday. That feeling of worshiping together was a part of my life I had missed, and I found that finally here. Yes, Peggy, I have stepped out of my box and into the open, loving arms of this community of believers, where no matter what happens, you know you are safe, loved, and given the tools to learn and grow, whether it is in Sunday school, church, Oasis, a walk to Emmaus, or just having a meal with friends. Here we not only have a pastor who teaches and guides us, but also a friend and counselor. Thank you, Wes, for being so much to so many. Paul may have brought us to First Christian Church, but the love of God shining in the faces we see all around us bring us back time after time. Thank you for your love and support that gives us the strength to face every day serving the Lord. Thank you.
She did such a great job. It's funny, we hadn't talked about who would go first and who would go second until the other day, and very quickly on the phone, I said, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first? And she said, I want to go first and get it over with. But our beginnings are very similar. I see it a little differently, though. It's funny. When Wes came to the elder meeting and told us he'd be out of town and the elders would be performing this service, I didn't really think about who would be delivering the message until we started assigning different tasks for everybody to take care of. And then I realized someone's going to have to be up here speaking. So I said I would. Donna said she would. I got in my car, I headed home, and I thought, what have I done? And why? But the good thing was, it was just to tell our story of how we came to be here. I'm going to try to get through this without crying. I was church shopping. I was church shopping with Jan and her mother, Billy George. We'd already been to the Methodist Church and the Presbyterian Church. And they were fine churches with nice people, but I just didn't get the feeling of home that I was looking for. Then we came here, and the Sunday of our first visit was the week before Mother's Day. We walked in the door, and Dandy Reitner, who's here today, thankfully, greeted us so openly and so warmly. And it was like everybody said hi and introduced themselves. And I thought, this is the friendliest church I've ever been to. And during that service, Wes made an announcement to the congregation that Peg had been diagnosed with a brain aneurysm. And Jan and her mother and I nearly fell over in our pew. I knew immediately why we were here. I also knew that God brought us specifically on that Sunday to be here for that announcement from Wes. This is the part where I kind of feel like Paul Harvey with the rest of the story. That's because probably what you don't know is that Jan's mom had a brain aneurysm in 1984. It ruptured. And Jan was also diagnosed with a brain aneurysm in 1999. But she found it early and it was successfully treated with a craniotomy. Anyway, when we were standing in line shaking hands with Wes and Peg, we began telling them about our experiences and asking which surgeons Peg would be seeing and when things would take place. And it turns out she was using the exact same neurosurgical group in this exact same hospital that Jan and Billy had been. Coincidence? I don't believe so. I can't remember if we ate cookies in the parlor or not, but I know that Jan made a comment to Peg saying, "I know why we are here today." And Peg said, "That's not the only reason." On Wednesday of that same week, Wes made a phone call to Billy. I'm not sure if it was a friendly, "Hey, we sure were glad you were here" kind of call, or if it was to visit with her some more about her aneurysm experience. But I do know that I didn't get a phone call, and neither did Jan. That Friday, we spent the day with Jan's mom, and we were discussing where we would attend church on Mother's Day, when Jan's mother very simply said she would be wanting to return here to First Christian. Jan mentioned that we were still kind of shopping around, and she said no, as she'd already found the church that she wanted to go to. She said, "I think if we ever needed anything, he'd be the one to take care of it. He could get us through about anything." And she was talking about Wes. Billy had just put her husband into an Alzheimer's care home, and I believe she was thinking maybe about what might end up happening to Bill. Unfortunately, it was Jan's mother that we lost on Mother's Day morning. Keep in mind that we had been at this church one Sunday. We called Wes to perform the service, and he immediately agreed. Then he mentioned that the church ladies would be glad to host the meal after the service in the fellowship hall. We were given names like Doris Yates, Bobby Harris, Louise Killo, and Ann Chadwick, and others that I'm sure I never knew. And although these names had no faces for me at that time, I felt their love and acceptance and their help at a time when our whole world was falling apart. Incredibly, these ladies went out of their way for total strangers, and I will never, ever forget what they did for us. They treated us like family by giving us a sense of belonging. Through their simple acts of caring, they demonstrated the unconditional love exactly as Jesus had intended. Since that time, God's hand in placing us here has been apparent in so many ways. There's a whole nother story about a cake, but I'll tell it later. I'm reminded again and again that this is where I am supposed to be, just like the ladies who so graciously welcomed and embraced us during our first months here. Others are able to reach out to our community in other ways through our Gifted to Serve ministries. Looking around and seeing how many of you touch so many lives of others, it's no wonder why this is one of my favorite aspects of First Christian. Whether it's a letter from Marvin Caldwell, a card from Guy Joyce, or a joke from Bill Schneider, We're all encouraged to use the gifts that we've been given. I'm not sure if you remember this, but last week Wes gave us all a homework assignment. He said to answer the question for ourselves, who do you say that I am? And for me, Jesus is the Lord of love, the one who commands that we love one another. I look out at all of you, and I see the love of Jesus on each face, and I feel the love of Jesus in each embrace. Thank you.